Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to our service this morning, which is recorded here in Ely for our surrounding villages and for Ely itself, and for anybody else who'd like to join in. My name's Chris, I'm the rector of St Mary's, and later on I'll be joined by Stephen, our lay pioneer, who will be bringing our message. Our hope is that we will bring the love of God into every home in Ely and in the villages. We're so pleased that you are here to join us this morning, and whoever you are, wherever you are from, you are very welcome here. As you might be aware, we're beginning to open up St Mary's and the surrounding villages for worship on a Sunday morning, which is wonderful news. Please do look at your normal information sources for understanding when those services will be. We will be continuing to record this service every Sunday, so you'll be able to have the online service if you aren't able to make it to church, or if you're, for health reasons, you need to be at home, or if you're working, or for any other reason. So please do continue to tune in to this service on our websites and also on YouTube. You'll notice a few differences going forward. This is Shabba's last Sunday with us. We'll be retiring him from next Sunday onwards. And also our midweek material will be a little bit different as we move to a more sustainable model. It'll be mainly paper-based or email-based, with a list of questions based on the previous week's sermon. We hope that you'll continue to find that really helpful. One thing that's helped me a lot is morning prayer, and there are morning prayers in some of the villages, but there's also morning prayers at St Mary's. We've got quite a band of people who are now praying for our churches and praying for their mission and for the communities we live in and for the world that we live in, especially as we come up to crucial elections and all sorts of things this autumn. We're praying our boots off for the world and for our local community. So if you'd like to join in, it's just half an hour every morning at 8:15 to 8:45 at St Mary's. Times differ at Streatham and other places, but please do just contact the office, and we'd very much like you to join in with us. Let's start our service with prayer. Please do say the words out loud in bold. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. As always, our worship this morning is led by the St Mary's worship leaders, who continue to collaborate together from home. And we start this morning with the great hymn of praise, And Can It Be? Please do join in at home.
Die.
now for one final time. It's Shama TV.
Hello, and welcome to Shama TV today. And this is the last in our series looking at characters, people from the Old Testament. And we're finishing with someone very cool and very special called Esther. I think it's time we had a look at her story.
Esther was adopted by her cousin Mordecai because her parents died. She and Mordecai were Jews, which means they were part of God's special family. Our story begins right before Esther becomes queen and God's family gets in some serious danger. Now, even though Esther was a Jew, she lived in Persia, which was ruled by King Xerxes. Let's just call him X. One night, King X wanted to show off his wife, Queen Vashti, at a party. She said no. So he said Vashti could never see him again. And he needed a new queen. So the king invited all the single ladies in Persia to his palace for a year. He decided Esther was prettiest, and she became queen. Really? But as crazy as that sounds, it was a good choice because Esther saved his life. See, one day, Mordecai overheard two guards plotting to kill the king. So he told Esther, and Esther told X. Around the same time, another powerful man at the palace, Haman, got really mad at Mordecai. He didn't know Mordecai had saved the king's life, or that he was the queen's cousin. So, he made a rule that all Jews must die. Like we said, he was really mad. And the king let Haman make this rule because he had no idea that Mordecai or Esther were Jews. Well, all the Jews were heartbroken. But Mordecai thought maybe Esther could save them. She was queen, after all. Problem is, only a king could change laws. And anybody who even spoke to the king when he didn't want to listen could die, including Esther. But she was willing to try. She said, "If I die, I die." Talk about brave.
Shall we find out how she did that?
So Esther visited the king. To her relief, he said, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." Esther had a plan. Politely, she invited King X and Haman to dinner. She had saved the king's life. Now she was making a special dinner for him? X liked that. He said yes. That night, the king asked Esther what she wanted again. And again, Esther invited them to dinner. Haman was thrilled to be invited to dine with the king and queen, twice. But even with this special treatment, he knew he couldn't be truly happy until Mordecai was dead. So he came up with a plan to kill him the next day. But that same day, the king realized that Mordecai had never been honored for saving him. So X asked Haman how to honor someone. Haman thought the king was going to honor him. Instead, he honored Mordecai. So Haman was already in a bad mood when he got to dinner. But his day went from bad to worse. See, Esther finally told the king that someone made a law to destroy her people. X was furious and asked, "Who dared to do such a thing?" Esther told him, "It was Haman." Then the king found out that Haman wanted to kill Mordecai too. Enraged, he ordered that Haman be killed. After that, King X told Mordecai to make a new law to save the Jews. The Jews honored Mordecai and celebrated with a feast. Esther had been willing to risk her life for her people, and she ended up saving them.
Wow. Esther was so brave, risking her own life to stand up and protect her people. That's real braveness, and that's really amazing. And it's also, again, a challenge to us. When we see people in need, or that are being harmed, or that are being having nasty things said about them, or nasty things done to them, how do we respond? Are we willing to be brave like Esther and stand up for them? It's quite a challenge, isn't it? But I think it's a good challenge for us to think about as we go into our week. Well, for the final time of this series, that's it from Shabba TV. Keep dancing!
Thank you, Stephen. So as we've just heard, our final Old Testament character in the series is Esther, a strong woman, formative in the history of our faith. So Debbie, one of our Christchurch leaders, offers this morning's Bible reading from the book of Esther. And after Debbie, we'll head straight over to Stephen to unpack Esther's story for us.
I'm reading from the Living Bible, and our reading today is Esther chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1 and reads through to chapter 5, verse 3. When Mordecai learned all about what had been done, he tore his clothes, put on burlap and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. He went as far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes or mourning. And as news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning amongst all the Jews. They fasted, wept and wailed, and many people lay in burlap and ashes. When Queen Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap, but he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs who had been appointed as her attendant. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and find out what was troubling him and why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. Mordecai told him the whole story, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa that called for the death of all the Jews. He asked Hathach to show it to Esther and explain the situation to her. He also asked Hathach to direct her to go to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. So Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Then Esther told Hathach to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape while all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. On the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court of the palace, just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her and held out the gold scepter to her. So Esther approached it and touched the end of the scepter. Then the king asked her, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom."
I wonder if you've seen The Little Mermaid. And in The Little Mermaid, Ariel has something very special, which is her voice. She has one of the most beautiful voices the crab Sebastian has ever heard. But Ariel wants something else. Ariel wants legs, so she can be on land and meet Prince Eric. And so she does a deal with Ursula, the sea witch. But Ursula's price for doing Ariel the favour is her voice. And our voices are really important. They enable us to do all sorts of things. And I don't just mean our physical voice. I mean our ability to speak up for other people, be that an audible speaking up or a letter to our MP or a typing. Our voices are really important. And I say this because in our story today, the character that we're looking at this week, Esther, is someone who uses her voice to protect other people. And I think that is a really admirable quality, something that we all could take challenge of. Esther is a farce, apparently. Apparently, the Book of Esther is not a true story. It's a comedy. It's meant to be amusing and humorous. But according to some commentators, because we see it as scripture, we take it very, very seriously. But it's not meant to be like that at all. It's full of over-exaggeration, and things that you think are going to happen to one character happen to another. Up is down and down is up. It's actually meant to be quite funny. But amongst this amusing story, which perhaps is like one of Shakespeare's tragic comedies, there is a point. And the point comes in Esther chapter 7, when a meal that Esther is hosting for the king, her husband Xerxes, and Haman, who is the baddie boo of the story, she is brave enough to raise her voice and say, my people are being prosecuted, and I kind of demand and I want their protection. And the king Xerxes loves Esther so much and is so fond of her that and has heard her voice that he listens. And the whole kind of trajectory of the book is flipped on its head. And the Jewish people are protected and Haman the baddie ends up dying in a rather unusual, tragic way. Ha 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 ha! What a comedy! And although it might be a comedy, I do think that is a serious point. And a challenge for us all about how we speak up for the persecuted and how each of us need to work out what that looks like in our own way. And we don't just do that because it's a nice thing to do. We do that because the way I see it, it's a thread that runs through the entire narrative of the Bible. One of my other favourite people in the Bible alongside Esther is Mary, Jesus's mother. And in Luke chapter 1, we read the account of where Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and shares with Elizabeth the news of her pregnancy. Mary bursts into song, which we now call the Magnificat, and proclaims and exclaims about the God that she trusts and believes in. And as part of that, and now this is the Message translation of Luke 1, Mary says that God is a God who knocks tyrants off their high horses and pulls victims out of the mud. And I think that's a great way of talking about the God that I too believe in. The God that we see in Jesus just a few chapters later in Luke 4. Jesus has been being tested by the devil in the desert, which is quite a tongue twister. He leaves the desert and heads to the temple. There he reads aloud a portion of scripture, which goes like this. God's spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. We don't just speak up for people and sign petitions and give our voice to things because it's a nice thing to do and Christians are meant to be nice. We do it because we believe it is a core value of the gospel to see those who are being persecuted and downtrodden protected and raised up. I've recently finished this book, which is We Need to Talk About Race by Ben Lindsay. And in it, he uses these words, which really spoke to me. He talks about when we see things going on, are we going to be a perpetrator, a bystander, or a resistor? A perpetrator, a bystander, or a resistor? Many of us would kind of be shocked at the idea of being a perpetrator of such things as racism, homophobia, or sexism, or kind of poverty, inequality. We would kind of be horrified at the idea that we might perpetrate those things. But I am challenged about how often I am a bystander when those things are going on. And how do I open myself up to moving from becoming a bystander to a resistor? And for me, very personally at the moment, I'm trying to do a lot of reading and a lot of personal learning so I can learn how to spot those things and learn practically what I can do to fulfill that resistor role. Because when I read the story of Esther, and please do go read the whole book and look into the comedy of it all, but the comedy with a point, I see that Queen Esther is a resistor. She's not someone who is going to let inequality and her people be persecuted, but she finds herself in a position where she can be a resistor and is willing to give her voice to that. And that's a challenge. And a challenge for all of us. A key part of Esther's resistance was action. Esther was an active resistor to the inequality that she saw. And each of us need to work out what that looks like for us. And it's going to be different for each of us. Each of our voices are different, and we're each starting from different places. But we do each need to work out what that looks like for us. Some of us will be people who need to read and begin by educating ourselves. Some of us might need to challenge friends or family, and be people who pray that in those moments, the Spirit will fill us to say or act in the way that we need to. This might lead us to vote in a certain way or to boycott certain companies. It might mean we march or we write letters or we post something on social media so other people can also be educated. But we also need to be open to be challenged ourselves when we also get it wrong. We need to be people who pray that the Spirit fills us and equips us for to be active resistors in the world. No one said this was going to be easy. I think Jesus is testament to that. But if we believe that this, by being active resistors to inequality, that is how we show our love for God and our love for other people of this world, because it represents the kind of God we believe in, then we do it. Because that's the call, to be people who know love and want to show love to others. When there is inequality and persecution, are we going to be a perpetrator, a bystander, or a resistor? Let me pray. Loving God, may Esther and Mary and Jesus be examples to us in the way they acted and cared for people. But may they also challenge us to think about how we can not be perpetrators, not just be bystanders, but be people who actively resist things that are not of you and are not of the kingdom. In your holy name. Amen. Amen.
So let's continue to reflect on Esther's story as we proclaim, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Please join in at home.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Seems to hide His face, I rest in His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
So now we come to a time of confession. It's an opportunity each week during our service to reflect on where we are before God, to reflect on the week that we've had, those things that we've done we're not proud of, those things we haven't done which we probably should have done. It gives us an opportunity to bring those things to the foot of the cross and allow God to wipe our slate clean. As before, I'll use some actions. We'll be curling our hands into a ball, crossing our arms, and turning our backs. So let's start by curling our hands into a ball. Forgive us, Lord, for holding things too tightly and forgetting to share. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Cross our arms. Forgive us for not showing friendship to help other people. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And so we turn away from the screen. Forgive us, Lord, when we have turned our backs on you and have ignored your voice in our life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And so hear the word of grace in Jesus Christ. The love of God for us never fails. Nothing can separate us from his love. Rise up, know that you are forgiven, and live in freedom and faith. And now we have an opportunity to declare our faith in God, as together we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'm going to hand over to Sophie Hurd, one of our home group leaders, who is going to lead us in our prayers today.
Dear Lord, thank you for your encouragement to pray, to seek your counsel and share our concerns with you. Fill us with your grace today and always, and a heart that looks to you first. We lift to you our Queen and leaders of the nations across the world. We ask you to bless them with wisdom, discernment, compassion, kindness, and rest. We pray for countries where there is political unrest and ask for your will to prevail in these places. We pray into the upcoming American election. We pray for the Black Lives Matter movement and for the people of Beirut as they continue to respond to the devastation following the explosions some weeks ago. We pray for comfort, peace, and a way forwards that brings hope. Lord, we thank you for the example of Esther, who responds to the distress of another and seeks to right an injustice. Help us to recognise and respond to injustice in our city, our country, and our world. Move our hearts, give us hope, and empower us so that we too can put others before ourselves. Lord, we pray for those affected by the pandemic and for those working to overcome it. We pray for good use of resources and responsible communications. Pour out your love and healing on the lonely, the sick, the discouraged, the frustrated, the bereaved, and the fearful. Fill us again with grace. Help us to support each other through this time with understanding and kindness, remembering that we are your hands and feet on this earth. Lord, we pray for all involved in the education system as many schools return this week and next. We lift up teachers, students, teaching assistants, parents, educational psychologists, and all who are involved as they start a busy term. Encourage them in their endeavours and bless them mightily in the coming weeks as they settle in. And in the next few moments, we're just going to lift anyone who is on our heart to pray for. Amen.
Let's gather all of our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please do join in at home. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. And finally, we pray our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Together we pray. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, at your table we present our gifts to aid the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. The giving to each of the churches is really important to continue the mission in each village and across Ely. So if you're not yet giving and you feel you would like to start giving, please do. And if you are already giving and feel that there is more that you'd like to do, then please do get in touch. If you'd like to contact the St Mary's office for any questions around giving, we'll give you all the information that you require to do that. Thank you. So as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for us to all join in with. Let's use this to take with us into the week the truth that God's love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on us. Please join in at home. So thank you once again for joining us this morning. A big thank you to everybody who's participated today. And remember that from tomorrow you will be able to find our midweek service study video on the website for the week coming, where Paul Woodbridge will be looking at more depth at Esther's story. If you'd like to join in coffee after church, we're holding a Zoom call on Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock. Please email the office and we'll send you joining instructions. And don't forget that each community is now meeting in person. Visit the normal sources of information for details. And in particular, take a look at our new 9:45 service at St Mary's, which takes place in the church front garden and is an easier environment for families to worship, especially during this time of social distancing. Let's continue to look out for our neighbours and pick up the phone to make sure nobody is completely alone and struggling. If you've joined us for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. Do drop us an email at the church office and say hello. So as we end, please respond out loud. Father, please be with us as we carry the light of hope into the city and the villages. Jesus, please make us ready to share our faith with our neighbours. Holy Spirit, please make us strong as we share God's love with the waiting world. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Amen. Goodbye, everyone.